I'm Nick Spitzer, here with a classic tune poking fun at Mama's Authority. Features Julia Lee on piano and vocals with her band called The Boyfriends, Benny Carter on alto, and Red Norvo on xylophone. The song written by boogie pianist Cow Cow Davenport. His family did not approve of him being a musician, sent him to seminary, and he got thrown out for playing ragtime. It's Julia Lee on American Roots.
Mama don't allow no alto playing in here. Mama don't allow no alto playing in here. Benny don't care what mama don't allow, blow his alto anyhow. Mama don't allow no alto playing in here. Mama don't allow no trumpet playing in here. Mama don't allow no trumpet playing in here. Bobby don't care what mama don't allow, blow his trumpet anyhow. Mama don't allow no trumpet playing in here. Mama don't allow no xylophone playing in here. Red don't care what mama don't allow, play his xylophone anyhow. Mama don't allow no xylophone playing in here. Trombone playing in here. Mama don't allow no trombone playing in here. Vic don't care what mama don't allow, blow his trombone anyhow. Mama don't allow no trombone playing in here. Mama don't allow, beat this 88 anyhow. Mama don't allow no 88 in here.
Hey, Daddy, what's the name of that thing we used to do? They used to say, Mama don't allow no music playing in here. I don't care what mama don't allow, I'm going to play my music anyhow.
Rebellion.
You say, mama don't allow no music playing in here. I'd get out on the floor with my bass. You remember, I used to put the bass on my back, man, and the people would laugh at
Acrobat.
Me.
Yeah, yeah, it was all kind of monkey shine.
I was young then, man. I'd do anything for a laugh. I'm going to start right with the bass. Is that cool?
All right.
Mama don't allow no bass playing in here. Mama don't allow no bass playing in here. I don't care what mama don't allow, gonna play my bass anyhow. Mama don't allow no bass playing in here. Here we go.
Guitar playing in here.
Is that so?
Mama don't allow no guitar playing in here.
Tell me about it.
I don't care what mama don't allow. I'm gonna plump this guitar in here. Mama don't allow no guitar playing in here.
Go ahead and play then. Mama don't allow no music played in here.
Yeah.
music, please.
Down. She kicked out my windshield. She hit me over the head. She cussed and cried and said I'd lied and wished that I was dead. Well, lay that pistol down, babe. Lay that pistol down. Pistol pack and mama. Lay that pistol down. Drinking beer in the cabaret and dancing with a blonde. Until one night she shot out the light. Bang, that blonde was gone. So lay that pistol down, babe. Lay that pistol down, pistol pack and mama. Lay that pistol down. I'll see you every night, babe. I'll woo you every day. And I'll be your regular daddy if you'll put that gun away. And just lay that pistol down, babe. Lay that pistol down, pistol pack and mama. Lay that pistol down. Was I having fun? Until one night she caught me right, and now I'm on the run. Well, lay that pistol down, babe. Lay that pistol down. Pistol pack and mama. Lay that pistol down. Now, there was old Al Dexter. He always had his fun. But with some lead she shot him dead, and his honking days are done. Well, lay that pistol down, babe. Lay that pistol down. Pistol pack and mama, lay that pistol down. I said, lay that pistol down, babe. Lay that pistol down. Pistol pack and mama. I said, lay that pistol down. Well, then I said, lay that pistol down, babe. Lay that pistol down. Pistol pack and mama, lay that pistol down.
Willie Nelson. I just love his jazz side. They're on Pistol Pack and Mama from 2010, written by Texas singer Al Dexter, who had a hit in 1944. It also became a jukebox sensation that year for Bing Crosby and the Andrews Sisters. Before that, the second tour of our Mama Don't Allow versions from bassist Milt Hinton and New Orleans banjoist Danny Barker in 1990. They knew each other from the Cab Calloway band back in the 1930s. And we've got more on Milt Hinton as a documentary photographer in a moment. The focus now, though, is on country singer and instrumental virtuoso Marty Stewart as a player and photographer back home in Philadelphia, Mississippi.
You can tell I'm from the country. See, I'm from out of town. I'm beginning to catch on. I'm letting my hair down. I've been rocking. I've been rolling. Some folks have got to look foolish. They make a fool out of me.
Marty Stewart's mother, Hilda, is a photographer who inspired him to document his life as a musician. And to see Stewart's compelling photography, check out Country Music, The Masters. Young Marty didn't pick up a camera in a serious way until after his music career started as a mandolin player in Lester Flatt's bluegrass band.
I went on the road in Labor Day weekend of 72 and got myself a job with Lester Flatt. I was 13 years old. And not long after that, I went to New York City for the first time. Lester performed at New York University. Went down into the village and to a bookstore. Up around the upper wall of the bookstore were some beautiful black and white documentary snapshots of jazz artists. And I loved the style of those photographs, and I asked who shot them, and I found out it belonged to a bass player named Milt Hinton. And two things struck me about those photographs as I stood there and just kept studying them. They reminded me of my mom's snapshots and that kind of family snapshot quality. They were as serious as they could be, but they also had an informal, like behind the scenes, behind the veil of the family kind of atmosphere about them. The other thing that struck me is this man has total unparalleled access to the family of jazz. Inside myself, I said, I think I have that same access to the family of country music now. So that afternoon, I went back to the bus, found a phone, and called my mom down in Mississippi and asked for a camera. Mama sent me one to Nashville, and that's how I proceeded to take pictures.
When we look at some of the photographs in your book, Country Music, The Masters, I'm struck by how rural folk that have become known in country music also are very much in touch with the modern world.
I've always said I think it might be easier to be a country boy that knows how to live in the city than to be a city boy that don't know how to live in the country. So,
Ms. Stewart, that you and your son have been able to both stay down home but go out into the big world and mingle those. There's some grace in how you've put this together.
It's really been fascinating to me, keeping up with Marty and going to his shows and flip back to Mississippi when they're doing a baptizing in a pond. Are you familiar with that,
how people
baptized back then? And all of that just, it ties in together. I've kept the camera at hand all the time, and I'm really glad I did.
I got hard times waiting for me in Nashville town. Got hard times for me waiting in Nashville town. They say we don't want no hillbillies.
The camera was kind of like music. It was just always around. You know how we are in the South, we tell stories about each other. And so many people that they told stories about when I was a kid were no longer there. They were gone. But those photographs, I could pull up a photograph of who they were talking about, and those people came to life again. It was just about preserving the family in the beginning more so than anything else.
Sometimes you call them characters that needed to be photographed, and I just look at these people and say, that would just really make a good picture.
Got corn in the crib, cotton growing in my pants. I got corn in the crib, cotton growing in my pants. Got a rooster in my hen house, just waiting for a hen to hatch. Everybody swinging now.
Sometimes those photographs that she took that I stored inside myself, deep inside myself, were the things I hung on to from home as a young musician out there traveling.
One of your early pictures is of your wife, Connie Smith. It's quite a beautiful photograph.
The news came across the radio speakers. The announcement was that upcoming star of the Choctaw Indian Fair of the 1970 season was the lady who sang once a day, every day, all day long, the beautiful Miss Connie Smith of RCA Victor Records. That was big news because Mama had a record of hers. Was Miss Smith Goes to Nashville, right?
That's correct.
And Mother loved Connie singing, so it was a big night for us. And Mother made her picture with Connie Smith. I got her autograph, and I remember walking out of this almost to the edge of the stadium, and I borrowed Mama's camera and went back to the car where Connie had finished signing autographs and sat down, and I took her picture. And that was the first picture I remember taking in my life.
I'm going to tell everyone it's on page 229 of Country Music, The Masters by Marty Stewart.
Well, I just remember making the statement on the way home that I'm going to marry that girl someday. And I was 12 years old.
Marty wrote an essay in the sixth grade of what I'd like to be in life. Most everything that he's done, he mapped out. One day I told Marty, I said, we've got lots of Connie's stuff on the big LPs. Let me tell you which songs I like the best and make me a CD of all the songs. And I asked for Connie's songs, and all of a sudden I got Connie. I thought that was a lot better deal.
True love songs still belong to hearts like ours.
is American Roots. I'm Nick Spitzer. We're talking to Marty Stewart and Hilda Stewart, his mother, both photographers and I would say keepers of history and memory, but also carriers forward of culture. Marty, how does one go from that visual world to going out to being a maker of song and in performance?
Well, it's one and the same to me. I love songs that are cinematic, especially Johnny Cash could spin a story. Don't Take Your Guns to Town or Picking Time, 5 feet high and rising about a flood in Arkansas. I could close my eyes and listen to him tell those stories by way of song and see pictures. Especially black and white documentary style photographs seem to go hand in hand with those kind of songs to me.
Hey, come look through the window pane. The bus is coming, gonna take us to the train. Looks like we'll be blessed with a little more rain. 4 feet high and rising. How high's the water, mama? 5 feet high and rising. How high's the water, papa? She said it's 5 feet high and rising.
Not long before he died, we were up at his house recording one of those American recordings. And just out of nowhere, he took a big drink of tea and he said, I miss my mama. How true. Rising.
Making of songs and the playing of instruments, where does that come up in your life in this mix of photographs that we're just beginning to learn about?
My grandpa Stewart was an old-time fiddle player. Mama always kind of favored Southern gospel music and some artists in country music, but my dad was a string band fan. He liked picking music. Daddy always talked about liking the mandolin, and one day I went to a discount fire sale store in Philadelphia called Frank Tank's, and for 75 cents, I bought a scratched-up 78 RPM record with Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Quartet, and I just fell in love with the sound of his mandolin and started chasing after it and got one not long after that.
One of the great photographs of yours in your book is of Bill Monroe with his chickens in the limo in the background. That's a beautiful image. That's intimate stuff.
That's about the last picture ever taken of him.
Is that right?
And we went out to his farm one Sunday, and I wanted to put the limo out of that was in his barn. I wanted to get the limo out from under the barn and park it in front of his cabin because the limo was about as long as his house. But it wouldn't start. And the back seat of the limo was full of hay bales, which I thought was kind of cool. And so I said, well, let's just stand here and do it. And he was playing his mandolin, and when he started playing, all of his chickens started coming toward him, you know, clucking. He had talked to him and played the mandolin, and that was the image that I got. Lester and Bill did lots of shows together, and the buses traveled in tandem at night. And lots of nights, I would ride on Bill's bus and sat across from him with my mandolin, and he would teach me tunes. He was a man of few words, but we would play the mandolins going down the road late at night with the lights off in the bus.
Bless your hearts. Thank you so much. We appreciate the nice applause. We're going to feature our little mandolin picker now, 15-year-old from Philadelphia, Mississippi. Any of you teenage girls that want to take him home with you after the show, that'll be fine. Does a great job with one of our buddy Bill Monroe's numbers. You better do this right because Bill's going to be listening to you back there. It's called Rawhide.
Hilda, did you ever caution Marty as a kid or a young teenager to be careful who he hung with? Or, you know, were you ever worried about the world of rock and roll?
I know starting out so young, Lester was kind of like a father figure to him. Lester said to me one time, he said, Marnie's hair is a little long. Could you talk to him about getting it trimmed, maybe? I said, trim, yeah, I think we could manage that.
The greatest asset that I had as a young musician, and to this very day, has been Hilda Stewart's unconditional love. When the music business didn't care nothing about me, and what I was doing didn't matter to anybody except myself, and things were not going well, I always knew when there was a glass of iced tea and a hug and an I love you, things were normal at her house. And things never changed with Mama. She cut her deal and left it there. That's a great lesson for anybody in this world. And that's the greatest thing I think anybody can have, is a mama's love.
Marty Stewart on music and photography, as well as Mama Hilda and his wife, Grand Ole Opry star Connie Smith. We'll talk more with Marty down the road, and we'll be back in a moment with the spiritual motherless child when American Roots returns.